Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on the Air, the official show of SoxTalk.com. I'm Mario Scalise coming to you from Chicago, and way west of me across the country is Jason Gage from California. Jason, are you there?
I am here. It is not snowing over here. It's not cold. It's kind of nice.
It's freezing over here. You know, we finally thought that we were out of the weather. We were out of the winter, and it came down really strong the other day, yesterday.
Winter's just begun for us. It's actually rained the last week. It's supposed to rain some more this week. But yeah, we got it rough out here.
Anyway, welcome. This is a Sox Talk show. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty geeked about this whole thing. I know we've been trying to kind of set something up for...
what, 2 years?
Yeah, since the Sox Talk days.
Exactly. So, Mario, in case you don't know, he's the founder of all of this. Without him, none of this would have been possible. SoxNet.net, and then Sox Talk was established, and now we're going to do this podcast every Monday. We're going to try to do it every Monday. We may occasionally have it on different days.
We're not going to make any promises as far as being every single week. So I'm thinking we'll probably do it maybe 3 times a month every Monday. You know, it'll probably be available in the afternoon. And the nice thing is, because most off days are Mondays and Thursdays, you know, most off days are Mondays, it'll be good for a couple days after.
Yeah, so it'll be recapping. Once the season starts, we'll be recapping the prior week. If there's any rumors or we think there needs to be a lineup change, we'll be willing to say. We'll tell Ozzy what's up.
Yeah. And we're not going to be on here for, you know, 2 hours at a time. We'll probably keep the show to about 20, 30 minutes and just keep it really short. We'll keep the arguments short because God knows we're going to get into some arguments that will seem like they're never ending.
Hey, the sky's not blue. We're going to start right now with the starting rotation. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the newcomer to the rotation, which is Javier Vasquez. He was acquired from Arizona in the offseason, and this was part of Ken Williams basically putting pressure on Garland and Contreras. And Vasquez was brought in here. We gave up El Duque. We gave up Chris Young. We gave up Vizcaino. And he's in here. We got him under contract for the next 3 years. But the big problem with him is... he's complained. He complained in New York. He finally got traded after blocking a few trades to the Dodgers. Went to Arizona. After 1 year, he complained about Arizona, asked to be traded. So now he finds himself in Chicago. The only plus side of this is he's going to be with manager Ozzy Guillen, the Venezuelan connection. And we know Vasquez has the stuff. It's a question of whether he can start to pitch like he did back in his Montreal days.
I think Guillen will be able to control him. I think Guillen is one guy who he's not going to take any crap, any whining. And as we've seen Williams from last week, he's not going to take any either. So, and I think with the Sox winning the World Series, I think the whole organization, there's just a different aura around it where players aren't going to come in and start demanding things and start causing trouble. So I think Vasquez, from an off-the-field standpoint, I think he's going to be kept under control. On the field, as you said, he's got a tremendous amount of talent, and you hope that Don Cooper could harness some of it.
Vasquez was saying late last season, and he made some strides late in the season. On the most part, he had a good season, but he tended to have a few games where he really got knocked around. But the key is he said he made some mechanical adjustments, and with that, he's kind of got his velocity a little bit back up. I know when he was with New York, he saw a big-time drop-off after his really great first half with the Yankees. And Cooper seems optimistic. It's obviously, they're not going to say he's going to stink, but... we know he has this stuff. It'll be interesting to see whether he can put it to task, in a sense. But it's going to make us still arguably the best rotation in baseball with the Angels and maybe a couple others.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think I'm a little bit of reserved with him because the one thing I do like is that it's not a situation where he was brought in that gave him six starters so they could trade one for a hitter or another reliever. This was he's here as one of six starters instead of one of five starters. So I do like that aspect of it. And the fact that he is the fifth starter and he's a guy who's going to give you 200 innings, whether he struggles or not, out of the fifth spot in the rotation, I think that's a key.
Yeah, it's a big plus. I mean, we all know he's better than El Duque. I mean, El Duque had injury problems, but he did have his key moments against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But the big thing with nice thing about having Vasquez in here along with McCarthy is the whole World Baseball Classic. We know Vasquez is going to be participating in it. I'm not much of a fan of it just from the pitcher standpoint because I think they're putting a little bit more pressure a little earlier in spring training than they usually would. But we also have Freddy Garcia, another member of the rotation, the number two starter. Technically, I would call him the number three starter behind Garland and Contreras, but he's also participating in the World Baseball Classic. And with two guys in it, it's nice to have that extra depth.
Yeah.
And especially because Freddie, he's the type of pitcher who tends to wear down middle of the season, or so it seems, because he labors. He throws more pitches than most. He doesn't give in. But at the same time, even though I'm not his biggest fan, he always produces, and he seems to step up with runners on base, which they're always on base with him on the mound. He comes in, and he just basically cinches up and hunkers down, as Hawk would say.
You know what? I like the idea of the World Baseball Classic. I think it should be given a chance. What I would say, there's really no other... I don't know if there's a better time to really do it throughout the year, because if you do it right after the season, you're going to have pitchers who are tired anyway, and it just might cause more of an injury than now. But I think the key here is if there's a nice little rotation every year. You know, Freddie Garcia and Javier Vasquez, they're obviously in it this year. Next year, they probably should take the year off, and then maybe they could be in another, you know, 2-3 years from now. And I think if it's just kind of known throughout all the players that, you know, we don't want you to be in every year, but if every 2-3 years you could go and participate in this Classic, I think the Classic overall, you know, could succeed. And but there is going to be some risk with Garcia and Vasquez, you know, in this Classic. And then, like you said, it's a nice thing to having a guy like McCarthy, who we're going to get into later on. It's a nice thing to have that sixth starter, because Garcia is going to have some trouble, as well as possibly Mark Burley. He was named the opening day starter, which I think was deservingly so, because he's one guy who, if there's anybody who gets overlooked in this rotation, it seems like it's been him.
I mean, how can you overlook a guy? Four straight seasons with 230 or more innings. I mean, that's the reason for concern. Will all these innings break him down? Will they lead to an injury? Or will he have, like, one of those years where he just doesn't have it? It's a viable question, but at the same time, last year may have been his best season. He's pitching in a hitter's park now. I mean, his best season prior to that came in 2001 with his 3.29 ERA, but that was in the older White Sox, it was still U.S. Cellular, technically Comiskey Park then, but the ball wasn't flying out like it is now.
Yeah.
And he put up a 3.12 ERA at this park. That's, I mean, he was basically one of the most effective pitchers in baseball. And aside from a stretch of, I think, six games, about three quarters through the season, he was consistently dominant.
Well, so you figure 230 innings over the last 3-4 years. I think, like RC, I think there's going to be a time during this season where he's going to have some type of arm problems. I think he actually had some last year. If you look really in August when the Sox were tumbling along and almost gave up that huge lead to the Indians, I think two reasons for that were Burley and Garcia. They weren't pitching nearly as much as they were capable of pitching, and you've seen them get tired down. So I think at one point this year, maybe in the halfway point, I think Burley is going to get tired. I think his workload, especially in the playoffs, is going to take effect.
I think that's a possibility. But one thing I like is the way Ozzie Guillen manages, and I like having McCarthy there, because at some point we're going to see McCarthy make 8 or 9 starts this year, and not necessarily because of injury. They may just say, hey guys, we're going to throw in a couple days where we're going to use the 6-man rotation, give that extra, maybe they get 3 or 4 weeks where every starter gets an extra day off for that period, and that'll freshen them up for the stretch run.
Is that maybe a sign of things to come? I mean, from a general baseball standpoint, plugging in a 6-starter here and there, couldn't that eventually just lead to this team saying, you know what, let's do 6-starters now, especially if you have them like the Sox? Because really, look, I remember when there was only 4 starters per team, and then all of a sudden, I'm not sure what team it was, but there had to be a team that came along the line that had 5 starters, so then everybody started using 5 starters. Hopefully this isn't a sign of that happening, because if you start having teams feeling that they need 6 starters in a rotation,
I just can't see that happening. I mean, the financial commitment to 5 starters is the Sox are one of the unique teams. I think it showed in the playoffs just how dominant this rotation was, and it is one of the best 5-man staffs. I mean, if every one of these pitchers lives up to their heyday numbers or their best, you know, best season, this could be the greatest pitching staff of all time in terms of one season. You know, you had the Orioles, had some great pitching staffs,
yeah.
But in general, there's never been one with this type of 5-man rotation.
I definitely think there's some questions with the team. You know, Contreras and Garland, I like both of them, but they had career years last year. You don't really know if they're gonna be able to duplicate it. We just talked about Garcia and Burley, how they may even have some arm problems. Javier Vasquez has been a mess for 2 years, but he has the talent. I think there's question marks, and obviously McCarthy's young. But the nice thing that the Sox have over any is as many question marks as they have, it's still a lot less than any other team out there. I do think there are some question marks, though.
Yeah, then, I mean, the next question marks are going to be these next 2 starters we talk about. They're not the keys question marks. When we get to the second part in the bullpen, I think that's where most of the team's problems may lie. But, I mean, we have Garland, and we talked earlier about how the Vasquez trade was made by Williams to give us a guy that we're going to have for 3 years. At the same time, it was, all right, Garland, all right, Contreras, Kenny's putting you a message. We said we want to sign one of you to an extension. Now, which one of you want to step up and stay in Chicago for the next few years?
And I love it.
Yeah. And Garland, right there, pretty much right after the trade, signs a 3-year, $29 million extension. He just came off a career year. He had a great start against the Angels in the playoffs. And the guy's been a workhorse. The nice thing, we talk about all these injuries that could come up due to the workload. These White Sox starters have consistently pitched, you know, 200 innings pretty much their entire careers. Even when Garland was the guy everyone was knocking on the White Sox, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, he was consistently winning 13 to 14 games and throwing 200 innings.
Garland is one guy in the rotation who I'm not worried about from an injury standpoint. And maybe I'm jinxing him, who knows. But the one thing I liked about him is that he came up, he started in the bullpen, and as he's gone out throughout his whole career, every year his innings have slowly gone up. And I think it's to the point where you're going to see him throwing 200 innings as long as he's not getting knocked around. You're going to see him throwing 200 innings a year for the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, however long. And that's what I think the nice thing. I think Garland is one guy who isn't going to get hurt in that rotation. I think Contreras, this might be a possibility. You know, last year he started dropping down his arm angle to get a little more movement on his fastball. And I think whenever you drop your arm, I think you create some type of risk.
You know, that's inevitable. But I think they have it where his arm's still up above his shoulder. As long as you're doing that, you're not putting the excess pressure on your shoulder. But at his age, and who knows how old he really is, you always have the concerns of a breakdown. But like I said, unless three guys all of a sudden get hurt, and I mean, if that happens, you can't, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But if one guy goes down for a little bit of time, we have McCarthy in the wings. And then we do have Contreras. And the nice thing about Contreras was this guy was the best pitcher in the American League once he started throwing strikes last season. His dominance continued in the playoffs. And so far this spring, I saw Chris Widger being quoted saying how he's basically just the same as he was, you know, at the end of last season. He's taken that confidence and he's just building on it. And so far in his two spring outings, one of which I think was their first game they played like last Monday where it was just a inter-squad scrimmage. But the nice part is he hasn't thrown one walk and he had like 5Ks his last outing.
That's the key. The key for him is just to throw his fastball. He obviously has a nasty forkball, and the problem he has, and everybody knows that, if anybody's been following the Sox, is that when he tends to overuse that and continually throw it to try to throw strikes with it, that's when he gets into the problems. If he just keeps on throwing his fastball and throwing it early in the count, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I am picking Contreras, if he's healthy, to win the Cy Young this year. And in a landslide, I think he'll win about 22 games. Because the way he pitched last year, even on his rocky starts at the second half, he was only giving up 3 or 4 runs. And when he was on, you couldn't touch him. And there isn't a guy in the game with as explosive stuff as him. There's some that are right there with him, but I can't say anyone's clearly more explosive in the stuff department. Obviously, you got Felix Hernandez, the 19-year-old, but give him a few years before.
I would agree. I think his stuff is probably second to none in the majors. I do think, though, there's going to be a time this year where he's going to hit a rut. He's going to have that control problems. It's going to come back and haunt him. And I think how he recovers from it is going to be key. I think he's going to have a good year. I could see him probably picking up 17, 18 wins, but I'm not sure if I see him getting to 20 or above. But staying on Contreras and Garland, Garland was given, as you mentioned, a 3-year, $29 million deal. Would you give Contreras a similar deal prior to starting this season? If you go back a few months, you know, back a few months, would you have given him a deal like Garland's?
If we're talking about after Garland had signed, I think I would have been leery about it simply because when you have 5 guys to that type of money in a position where injuries are inevitable, you'd be taking too much of a risk, especially even though the Sox now have a $95 million payroll or so. I don't think you can do it. However, let's just say someone goes down this season or Brandon McCarthy doesn't pitch well out of the rotation or pen this year, then I think you start looking. If Contreras wins the Cy Young, can you really afford to let this guy go? Obviously it's going to cost you. You could have probably signed him somewhere around 3 years, $30 million this spring, similar to Garland money.
And if he gets anywhere close to 20, 20 wins, that's going to skyrocket. You might talk 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and at 4 or 5 years, I think you know he's going to break down by that point. And it, I mean, we're talking, if he pitches like I think he's capable of, he will get himself a 4 or 5 year deal at even as much as $13 or $14 million a year.
If McCarthy comes in and he pitches well, I think Contreras is gone no matter what, because I think it would be better off for them to go and have a guy like McCarthy who will be making peanuts next year. I mean, granted, everybody else stays healthy. Everybody else has to stay healthy, and guys like Vasquez and Garland have to keep, you know, in Vasquez's case, he has to kind of figure it out. In Garland's case, he's got to keep it going. With Contreras, though, I think if he just blows up and has 20 plus wins, I don't think you keep him. I don't think you keep him at all. I think if he gets into the 15-17 win category and McCarthy has trouble or somebody else gets hurt, I think you offer maybe the same deal you have Garland, maybe 3 years, $29 million, and I'll be perfectly fine with it, because then for 2 years in a row, even though last year was more or less the second half, for 2 years he puts up some pretty good numbers, and I think he'd be worthy of a contract similar to Garland.
I'd agree with that. The only thing I can think about that would be negative to that is just if this team wins the World Series again, and, I mean, they're as good of a team in baseball as anyone, then you'd get a guy that maybe wins 20 games for a World Series winner. Can you really afford to let him go when you're trying to, you know, go for a three-peat, so be it? That I don't know. I think at that point, Ryan Zarf is going to say just spend the money, because the team would be, you know, basically 2 straight years, and they're going to be sold out. If they win another World Series, you're not going to be able to get tickets in a year.
I would agree with that. I think you're partly right. I think, you know, it all depends how the bullpen is too. If the bullpen breaks down this year to where, I mean, even let's say they go to the playoffs and their rotation carries them in the World Series, if there's clear signs that bullpen's going to struggle in 2007, and I know you're going to have some position players who might be free agents, they might have bigger concerns that they have to take care of. They might have to go after a couple relievers and fill up a couple position spots or re-sign a couple of the position players that they have. So Contreras, keeping Contreras, might be on the bottom of the list.
I tend to agree with that. And we're going to talk about the bullpen next. And yeah, we're going to take a little quick break. We'll come back talking about the bullpen. And then the following week, just as a reminder, we will be talking about this starting lineup, you know, center
defense,
field.
Everything.
Yeah, everything will be covered in that show. And then we'll be taking a break when we're in Arizona. We may do a show from spring training. We're not positive. We'll see how that goes.
From the actual park?
Not from the park. We're not that high tech yet.
Shit.
I know. But and then I want to quickly give a pitch for Mario's radio station, 360thepitch.com. They have a great show. Mario and Jeff Shipley do a show from Chicago. It's a really good show. It's all around sports show, and then they have a lot of other good shows there. He can maybe tell you a little bit more about that when we come back from the break and then get into the bullpen.
We'll do. We'll be right back.
A swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field. This might go. It's a gutter. That run's got a chance. That run is gone. Holy Toledo. What a way to finish.
Major League Baseball, spring training, the World Baseball Classic. For the most interactive, opinionated, and in-depth baseball talk podcast on the web, plug in to Outsider Radio and Brandon Rossage.
What an embarrassment are the Devil Rays. They are seriously looking into dropping Devil from the name and calling the team just the Rays. There was a negative association with the term Devil Rays and Devil. Hold the train. That negative association is losing. So to fix that, you don't go change in the name. You don't go, oh, there's a quick fix. That'll be easy. I think the fix is, if the negative association is that you lose, you try to win.
It's baseball talk from the outside looking in. Major League Baseball talk you control on the web's premier sports podcast network. Outsider Radio on 360, The Pitch.
Welcome back. I'm trying to get my radio voice down. I don't think I have one, though. I think I'm
don't
lacking
worry.
It a little bit.
Well, you're lacking in a lot of departments.
All right, well, we're back. That promo, that was a promo for Outsider Radio. It's a show on 360thepitch.com. It's with Brandon Rossage. It's a baseball show. So while we were talking about the White Sox, if you want to kind of get a little more general with baseball, you could jump in his show, visit 360thepitch.com, and go to the shows and check out Outsider Radio with Brandon Rossage. I think every week I'll probably just play a different promo from 360 because, you know, it's another outlet to plug 360, so I might as well take advantage of it.
And now we're going to do a little time to promote Brandon McCarthy. Give a little talk about the guy that's
going to be show?
Starter. And he's going to be a bullpen. For the first time in his career, he's going to be pitching out of the pen. And I got a quick story about McCarthy in the bullpen. And we may not see the McCarthy we have now if it wasn't for Brandon being willing to stay down in A-ball for another year, or I think it was rookie ball at Great Falls. He stayed an additional year. The White Sox wanted to promote him to Winston-Salem or Kannapolis, one of the A-ball teams, but they wanted him up there as a reliever. He asked them if he could start, and they said, well, if you want to start, we're going to have to keep you down at the lower level. And he insisted upon it, and then that season was the one where he had his breakout year where he went to A-ball, Double-A, and kind of pretty much jumped the system and became the Sox top prospect. So now that I got that out of the way of how much he didn't want to be a reliever, I think he's happy to be a reliever at the major league level because he knows it's inevitable he's going to be taking one of the starting jobs.
Yeah. His attitude with all of it has been great.
Well, he's a constant professional. He reminds you, you see the man speak, he basically can explain better than we can explain what the hell we're talking about. He can actually explain what he's trying to do on the mound, and I don't think many pitchers can really explain. They'll be like, yeah, I'm trying to throw strikes, I'm trying to do that. When McCarthy says it, it's like he's a scientist. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows exactly what he has to do. Everything's just built in. He's just a super intelligent pitcher.
And then his whole attitude was just being willing to go into that bullpen and say, listen, my time's going to eventually come. He's, what is he, only 22, 23 years old, so he has plenty of time left. And really, I'm of the... Wasn't it Earl Weaver who kind of started the whole thing where you start your career in a bullpen if you're a future starting pitcher? I like that whole idea. You know, Mark Burley started in the bullpen. John Garland started in the bullpen. I think Brandon McCarthy pitching in the bullpen this year and starting occasionally, I think it'll really help him in the long run. He'll be able to struggle. He'll be able to come back quickly and make up for, you know, whatever he struggles he had in his past appearance. And I think it'll build up his arm strength for next year. Because if he throws 60, 70 innings this year, perhaps even more, depending on how many starts he gets, I think it'll only help him going into 2007, when that's when I feel he will be a starter. But in that bullpen, do you see him? He's pretty much going to be a long reliever. Do you see him pitching late in the game at all?
I see him as the X factor of this bullpen. I'm going to get more into it later on in the show, but I think our bullpen is the biggest weakness on this club. Trading away Vizcaino and trade away Marte were two guys. Now, I know Marte had his struggles in the second half, but they were two guys that pretty much got the job done. And with McCarthy, well, with those two gone, we're going to need someone to step up. And we sure as hell don't have a left-handed candidate, and we're going to discuss that later on in my feelings about our left-handed, extra left-handed reliever. But with McCarthy, we have a guy, I think he'll start in a little, maybe with a little bit more less pressure situations, but by season's end, he may be that guy in the pen that's turning it to Jenks along with Kotz and not Hermanson. And the Sox are going to need him to do that. He has this stuff. It's just the mentality and really the ability to be one of those guys that can bounce back and pitch, you know, two straight days. I don't know if he's has the... It takes a different type of workout. You have to do a lot more stretching and keep your arm in good shape to be a reliever for the entire season.
I would hope so. I mean, I think his role will more or less be a long reliever. I think maybe at times he'll kind of be that bridge guy, maybe the guy who comes in the fifth inning and kind of brings the ball to the, you know, brings it to the seventh and eighth. But as you said, when you lose a guy like Vizcaino, when you lose a guy like Marte, these weren't great relievers and they had their problems this year. But for fifth and sixth relievers out of the pen, I think most teams would want that any day of the week. Losing them too, and you know what? There's some talent in this bullpen, but there's some question marks. You know, Bobby Jenks, you know, Dustin Hermanson, Neil Kotz, Cliff Pleat, I think they're all capable of being quality relievers and doing what they did last year, but you don't really know. In three of these guys' cases, they were pretty much the best years that they've ever had. So McCarthy's role in the bullpen may expand heavily as the season goes on.
It's going to have to. I mean, you have Jenks. Jenks is actually, they say it was muscle he put in, but if you see the pictures from spring training, he has put on some weight. And that's an issue when you're a pitcher because you need to have flexibility. I was reading an article on the Tribune that was talking about with the Sox trainer and strength and development guy, and he's saying how we need to get Jenks to get him some flexibility because you need that full range of motion, especially with a guy that's already had arm troubles in his career. Then you got Pleat. Pleat now has had kind of two pretty good years in a row. Last year he was amazing. He's really buckled down. I would tend to think he's more of a sure thing, but anytime you have relievers, if you notice, relievers tend to really have their stats fluctuate year to year. And then there's my guy. We're talking Neil Kotz. I think he's the best left-handed setup man in baseball. And I think he's just going to get better. He was dominant last year.
I think of these four guys, I think Neocots is the one guy who I'm least worried about. And it's surprising because the numbers he had prior to last year, when he had a 5 ERA, and he obviously had some control issues, and they could come back. But if there's one guy in that pen that I'm very comfortable with, it's Neocots. And you go
he has the best slow fastball, quickest 89, 92 mile an hour fastball in baseball. No one can catch it
easily. Easily, and you've seen players time and time again say it is not as fast as the gun shows. The gun shows 89 to 92, and really it's coming in 97, 98 in the eyes of the hitter, and that's all that really matters.
If you think about it, it's almost like, and I'm not comparing to Mariano Rivera. Rivera's a righty. He's probably the greatest big game closer ever, but Rivera never had that super quick fastball. He'd throw his, I think it was his two-seamer or his cutter, and he would throw it 93, 94. Yeah, about 93, and that's a good fastball. But at the same time, he would just blow hitters away. They had no chance on it because it was that sneaky quick.
He's got a tremendous amount of movement on his pitches, too. Neocots, for the most part, it looks like just a straight fastball that if he locates. What's amazing me about him is that he's been able to throw. Sometimes you see him throw it 10, 11, 12 straight times, just a straight fastball, and guys still can't catch up to it. That right there shows me that he is a power pitcher.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. He has a high strikeout ratio, and he still has to improve his control a little bit. But at the same time, I think his little bit of a lack of control makes him almost better as long as he's not walking a whole bunch of guys, because the hitters don't exactly know where the ball is coming, and because of that, he's able to set him up because the location's always different.
You know, going back to Jenks, I don't want to jump around, but going back to Jenks, you were talking about him obviously being a bit chubby, a bit chunky. My whole concern, and I'm sure you probably noticed this last year, towards the end of the year, whenever he was pitching 2 days, 3 days in a row, or over a four-day period, he was pitching in three games. If he's doing that this year, especially over the course of the season, I could see him losing velocity. And whenever he lost velocity last year, that Indians game was a great example when he gave up that game-winning hit to Aaron Boone. Whenever he loses velocity, he becomes very hittable. Very hittable. So I think either he has to be able to pitch back-to-back days, or he's got to improve that curveball immensely in order to be able to throw consistently for a strike. Because if he starts throwing 94, 95, even 96, 97, he's very hittable.
I think that's true to a point. At the same time, we got to remember that last year was Jenks' first year out of the bullpen. And as I said, people think the bullpen's maybe a little bit easier than the starting rotation. But in fact, I think it puts more wear and tear in your arm, because you're out there 3 or 4 days in a row sometimes, and you have to be really making sure you're doing your stretches every game, making sure your body is in the best shape. Because those guys, sometimes they're out there, their arms are completely sore. And Jenks, it's the stamina of being able to do it 3 or 4 days. He didn't have it last year. I would like to think he's going to make an improvement on it this year. At the same time, if Jenks doesn't come through, I think we have a really, really good closer candidate, Neil Kotz. He can come in and do that job. But if Kotz comes in, then the importance of finding that second lefty will become greater. And then we haven't talked a little bit yet, or at least we haven't talked much about Dustin Hermanson, who was huge for the Sox last year and then basically had one appearance in the playoffs.
He's supposedly healthy. But when you're talking about a back problem, I don't think you could ever really be fully healthy.
It's going to be an issue that's with him. He had that herniated disc. He didn't have surgery. He did strength training on it. And I'd like to think he was able to grind it out all of last year. And it should be better this year because he's been able to prepare and build up his strength and his core. At the same time, the Sox are going to need these guys to pitch. McCarthy can come in and maybe give aid to this, and that'll be key. But if Jenks or Kotz goes down, this team's going to be in trouble. And I think by the trade deadline, we're going to be acquiring someone because they don't have the depth that the prior pen had. And in this day and age, I think teams that have good bullpens make the playoffs. It's basically no doubt in my mind. If you have a good bullpen, the Angels consistently have had one of the best bullpens in baseball, despite their starting rotation being kind of shady from time to time, yet they find a way to get in because they don't blow leads, and the bullpen will keep them in the game to where you can come back and win games.
I would even go one step further and say that I don't think injuries have anything to do with it. I think even if all the guys are healthy, I think they're going to need a reliever at some point this year. And that's where I think the beauty of having six starters is, because you could maybe trade, even though it may not be liked, you could maybe even trade a Contreras at the trade deadline for that reliever that I believe they will need. I think they'll definitely need a reliever at some point. And, you know, then when you have Hermanson's back situation and Jenks' overall health situation, because as you said, he's had arm injuries before, I think you might need it even more so. But you talked about the second lefty in the bullpen.
Yeah, we're going to talk now.
It's really become a joke to me. You look maybe 4 or 5 years ago, everybody was looking for one lefty in the bullpen, just the one lefty to come in to face a couple lefties here and there in the seventh and eighth innings. Now, why is it necessary that every team has two lefties out of that pen?
I don't think it's necessary, especially on the White Sox. Just look at the splits of Cliff Polite, Bobby Jenks, and, of course, Neil Kotz. They get left-handers out. You have the right-hander in Polite. Hermanson can get left-handers out. We got rid of Vizcaino, and he could even get left-handers out. As long as your right-handed pitching can get left-handed pitching out, it's not as big of a necessity to have that loogie, that specialist in there. And especially when you look at the list of guys we have fighting for that position, real quickly I'll highlight it. You have Lopez, you have Arnie Munoz, you got Paulino Reynoso, you got Rusty Tucker, I think it's Steven Randolph, Chad Bence, Corwin Malone, Fredo Almanza, and then just as of yesterday, the White Sox made some hints that two more in-house candidates may become options, and that's Boone Logan, lefty, and Heath Phillips.
I saw Rusty Tucker pitch, wasn't overly impressed. I mean, I think Chad Bence has a great story because he doesn't have a hand. I think that's pretty cool, and it's a great story, but watching him pitch doesn't really have much. If the talent of those two guys is widespread for the other guys, and they all have the same capabilities as a Rusty Tucker or a Chad Benz, they might be better off with one lefty in that pen. But who are the two guys that you just mentioned, the two kind of sleepers?
Heath Phillips, I think, is the biggest sleeper. And I happen to think these these free agents we signed are just all crap. We don't have anything in left-hand pitching.
More or less trying to find a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, but we don't have – these guys suck. There's a reason. If you're a left-hander and you can throw anything, for Christ's sakes, I'm going to type up myself. I could come in there and walk four guys in an inning like Chad Bence did and give up, you know, 18 runs. He only gave up four, but his ERA is like 27.
Are you going to try not to, though?
Well, of course. I got my power frisbee at 58 miles an hour that I'm going to throw at him. They're going to have no chance. I'll follow Rookie of the Year and I'll throw the floater. Just float it. But the true story of this, we don't have any depth in our organization. We have Munoz, who I think is the front runner. He pitched good in his one innings, had two strikeouts. He's pitched at the major league level. You just have one problem. Ozzie Guillen basically said this guy will never make it. He doesn't have the cojones for the game, is what he said at Sox Fest. And then one other in-house candidate we have that I think is pretty solid is Paulino Reynoso. He has a really good arm, but can't throw strikes. And then the rest of the guys are all crap, Lopez, Tucker, even Corwin Malone, until he proves that he's come back from all his injuries. He's not the prospect he once was. And then Heath Phillips. He hasn't gotten any love, but the guy pitched good in Double-A. He's a bigger guy. He's had some issues in the past in being in shape come start of camp, but I think he's someone to look at. He's always garnered comparisons to Burley. Doesn't have the greatest stuff, but he does know how to pitch.
You have the whole thing now. They're obviously going back and forth on whether to carry 11 or 12 pitchers. I personally like 11 pitchers. I think having that extra guy on the bench, having five guys on the bench is key. What do you think would force them to bring 12 pitchers? Do you think it's maybe if they have a second lefty who's maybe not necessarily good that they want to bring the seventh reliever, or is it not having a lefty at all where they want to have the extra arm in the bullpen? What do you think would make them carry the 12th pitcher, the seventh reliever?
You know what? Honestly, 12 pitchers doesn't make sense to me.
It's never made sense to me either. I've never understood that. Why put four guys on the bench? That bench is going to come up to be much bigger, especially when you have a rotation that the Sox have.
Yeah, and we can always call up another pitcher, but we have enough guys there. We have five good starters. We have McCarthy there. We have enough depth in the bullpen for the time being. And if we bring up 12 guys, that just means we're going to have two pieces of garbage in our pen. The lefty and whatever righty we go with, because I'm not convinced we have any good right-handed candidates either out there. I do like Sean Tracy. Really good arm. I wouldn't mind seeing him up at the major league level. At the same time, I'd like to let him go to AAA and work a little bit out of the bullpen. He's going to be a converted starter. Has a really good arm. Throws about 95. And the best part is he's got that rubber type of arm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Bagineru, who great guy. He's done a lot of help, you know, nice things on Sox Talk. At the same time, I don't know if he's going to be able to make it with the Sox. He seems to get hit anytime he's in, you know, spring training game, and he's been hit up in the major league level. And then we have Tim Redding, the free agent that we signed. So I think those are the only three options, really, when it comes to that position. And I'm not convinced any of them are going to be all that good anyway. And we know the lefties are going to pretty much stink.
So it's pretty much really just a five-man bullpen. I mean, none of the lefties really are going to step up. So it's just a five-man bullpen of Jenks, Hermanson, Kotz, Polite, and McCarthy. That's basically it.
So we better get ourselves another reliever, and I think that's going to be what Ken Williams does at one point or another. He's going to find out these guys are garbage. Or maybe we get lucky and one of our in-house guys step up, because these guys we signed, these lefties, they're junk.
If, let's say, I think they're going to need a reliever at some point in the season, I'm sure he's going to be less inclined to trade a starter. What minor leaguers do you think, as far as the prospects goes, would you kind of be willing to dump?
Well, first hand, I'd be willing to dump Arnie Munoz, Reynoso, Sean Tracy, some of the higher guys. We don't have much in the lower levels, and we definitely don't have much at the higher levels. We got to rebuild this farm system, and it's going to start through this next draft. But we do have some guys that have some upside. I mean, we have a Robert Valido at short. I don't know if I'd trade him, but at the same time, I think Uribe is going to have a great year.
Yeah.
And we have Lance Broadway. We got Ray Liotta. I wouldn't give up those type of guys for a reliever unless we're talking about a pretty good reliever. I think on the most part, I would trade a couple of our proven 4A type of guys and try to get ourselves a solid reliever. I'm not talking about an excellent reliever. Just someone that can come in and be that Luis Vizcaino.
All right, well, I think we're ready to call it a show, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think it was fun. Hopefully we will improve with time. Yeah. I got a little long here in the end.
Yeah.
But hopefully everyone enjoyed the show. Please email us comments. You can send them to me at jason@futuresox.com. And Mario, or you can send them to me and I can give them to Mario.
Yeah, just send it to Jason. I really don't want to hear from you, to be honest.
I mean, I tell him enough. He sucks. It's obvious.
You know, it's going to take a while. I'm not really used to sitting here, and because especially with you being in California, I know it's hard for me to sit here with nobody actually in front of me to talk to. So I know we're probably going to have some problems in that end as far as, you know, getting the chemistry down pat. But I think in time it'll work out. I think maybe, you give us a two, three weeks, I think we'll be fine. Hopefully we can cut the show down. We're approaching 40 minutes right now. I think if we get it down to about 25 minutes a show, I think that'll be nice. We keep it nice and quick, especially when the season gets on, because there's not going to be that much to talk about where we're going to be spending hours and hours for each show. So if we could get it down to about 25 minutes, during the season and just kind of recap the week that was and, preview the week that, is coming up.
Yeah, and if anyone ever has any questions for us, we'll gladly take your emails. As Hawk says, I love email. Anyway, after that copyright infringement, I think we're going to call it a day. Hopefully you enjoyed us, and please check us out again.
Take care.